This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with Tyler Kennedy, Jim Colony in today as Joe is down, headed to a weekend in Florida to play some golf. He's serious about this, Jim. I never realized back when I arrived at his house one day with an extra set of clubs I had shoes and a shirt for him. I said, Joe, you're going to like this if you give it a shot. Because okay. He hated golf forever. And now here he is going on one-man trips by himself to play golf in Florida.
Okay, Tyler, you might appreciate this. Okay, so Bob lends Joe his clubs.
Yeah, so and then, try it.
And Starkey says, I'm playing with a friend of mine, I think Jim Perka. We're playing up at Lakeview North. And Joe says he wants to come out and play. And I said, well, we're playing at noon. He goes, I'm on until 2, whatever. So we'll come on out after the show. We'll play nine. We play the back nine with us. Yeah. So he did. So the parking lot, pretty easy. You take your cart off the 18th green. You drive into the parking lot. And you drive up to your car, and you put your clubs in the car. Okay, so here comes Joe. He's got his own cart. Perk and I putting our stuff in our car. And so I think nothing of it. I'm halfway home, and I get a phone call from Joe. And he's like, Horace, can you go pick up? I left Pomp's clubs back at the golf course. Can you go get them? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he drove over and put them on a, you know, on a rack next to the clubhouse and then turned in the cart and then just left. I'm like, no, I'm almost home. And then I went back up. You know, Bob finally did get his clubs back. But that's how Joe got started with golf.
And then he ended up losing the 8-iron. You know how he was using it for short game. And then you know how you walk away. You think you have your club and you don't. And so at the end of the day, he's missing my 8-iron. But he was good enough to go out and get another one.
How many extra clubs do you guys have at your clubs that people leave? And then they never claim them.
No, they don't know about it till like next time they need an 8-iron.
Maybe it's different. Where you guys belong, but at a public course, we have 200 clubs, even a putter. How do you forget a putter? And it's crazy. It's crazy. Eight irons, pitching wedges, putter.
Well,
it's just nuts.
Tyler's going to host we have an event here that we're going to figure
out. Heard about
out.
This.
Yes. And I don't believe for one second that you haven't been practicing. You can tell me how busy you are, and I know you have kids and you have hockey obligations, but I know you've been practicing.
I'm telling you.
I have some birdies out there telling me stuff.
Oh.
So you talking about me being a sandbagger.
Bob knows everybody.
Wait. I swear, I'm up there, but I'm not practicing, Bob. Practicing is like getting a little sweat going to work up there. I go up there with my little son, TK. I let him hit. I want him to begin. I'm good enough, but... Yeah, like you want to talk about leaving clubs around? Take your kids out golfing. You might as well buy 14 putters because they're the ones leaving the putters, throwing their putters.
That's like playing with Joe.
Yeah.
First. All right, let's get back into we promised we'd talk about torts. Tortorella. What are your experiences with John Tortorella? And that was a combustible situation that was going to erupt, and now it finally has, and they fired him, although I get the feeling he probably would have said, I can't deal with this. What are these guys? You're providing me with this?
Yeah, like you. It seems like if you want to get out of an organization, you kind of go after the organization and the media, and then the team gets mad and they get rid of you. That's kind of like what, you know, his comment was like, hey, I can't coach. Pretty much, I can't coach this team because they suck. That's what he said about Philly, and then obviously.
Hasn't he said that everywhere?
Yeah, true. But Briere didn't take it, you know. But so he was a coach in New York in our heyday with the Penguins, you know, and I hated him because he would always match me up against Sean Avery. He was a guy, like, wherever I went in the lineup, Torts would put Avery against me, and we fought all the time. And I remember one time we fought in Pittsburgh, center ice, Avery beat me up again, and I remember looking over, and Avery was, like, giving it to Torts, going, hey, is this what you wanted? Hey, this is what you wanted? And I'm like, what? And because he's like, he wanted Avery to go after me and, like, just like, you know, he was very good at matching guys up, you know. But talking to a lot of players that play with him, the one thing that Tortorella was always good at and what I think he gets respected for from his team or his players was he's honest. Like, he's not a guy that, like, you know exactly where you stand with him. Like, if you're not playing, he'll say, hey, no, it's because you suck. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I think, you know, as much
he kind of has a short shelf life everywhere he goes, it seems, right? Because of this?
Well, I think, like, you know, there's different coaches in the league. When you get a young team, you need a hard, you know what, kind of coach to be really hard, set the tone. And then once the tone's set, then you get rid of them and you find a good coach because the tone is set. The work ethic is set. What is expected every day.
You live that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Therrien was the perfect coach for the time, and then, you know, all of a sudden guys started to mature and I heard you a couple last week or so saying Bosman was the best coach you ever played for.
Right.
You won a Stanley Cup with him, obviously, but that change was, I mean, it paid off, obviously.
Yeah, it's so again, you like we can kind of go with that is Therrien was like hard, you play hard, you take guys on, they get up by a goal, you fight this and that, you know. But when we played Detroit, they were just too good and we couldn't play like that. And I think Ray Shiro's like, no, now we need an X and O guy. We got what we had. We got what we needed from Therrien. Now we got to bring in a guy that knows how to play and knows how to play that new system. And when Bosma came in, I knew we were going to do good because I had him in Wilkes-Barre. Every faceoff, we had a certain play. We were so dialed in with so many different plays, and it was so refreshing because Therrien didn't have anything. It was like that old school, no, we're going to chip the puck in. We're going to run Lindstrom through the wall. And in the finals, that doesn't work because Lindstrom's too good. He wants you to come right at him, run at him, and then he spins and he's gone up the ice. So that's kind of what Tortorella is. He's like a Michael Therrien, set the tone, and then when they're not good, they get an X and O guy to try to figure it out. But
well, you said, okay, I'm sorry. I asked you when we first got in here today, would you have wanted to play for Tortorella? And you said yes right away.
Yep.
with no hesitation. You would have liked to have played for him?
Yeah, I played a lot better, like, for guys that were hard on me. You know, I needed someone to be hard. I needed the head games. I needed guys to be hard on me because I wanted to be pushed. You know, I wanted a coach to come down and give it to me. I needed a coach like Terry to be like, hey, if you're getting called up, like, hey, you see that guy? He's running around. It's time for you to go make your money. You know, it's time for you to go stick up for yourself. And that's the coach I love. Like, just like that kind of stuff. And then when you know, I went to San Jose and I had, like, Todd McLellan, and he was kind of let me do my own thing. And if you let a guy like me do my own thing, like, I'm going to fluff off, you know, that's just the way I am. Where guys like Terry, guys like Bosma, if I had a bad practice and we were flying out that day, I remember, like, thinking I was maybe too good. And Terry would come bring me into the room and be like, hey kid, your flight can be going the other way to Wilkes-Barre. You're not the guy that can fluff off. You're the guy that can push the pace. And one of the best advice I got from Dan Bosma was, hey, there's guys on our team like Crosby, Malkin, that can throw sauce passes, that can have a light practice. You, Cookie, Craig Adams, you are the guys that set the tone in practice. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. You're like the practice captain. And I'm like, and it was like, because you're the
guy. You get
guy
to wear a C for that? Yeah, take it away from City.
Yeah, I know. But he was like, you're the guy that when I look down and you are going like it's a game like speed. And I was like, Jesus. Like, and it was interesting because like I didn't know that, you know, but he put you right in your place right away. So when you think about Tortorella, like he's the same way, and I thrived off that. But now, like with this new NHL, I feel like a lot more kids or a lot more young players, they want to be like pampered a little bit and like not hard on. And I'm just guessing this, where before a lot more players wanted their coach to be hard on them. You know, even like, again, like.
Do you like if they're honest to the point where they tell you in the media and call you out?
No.
But Tortorella does that.
Yeah. Like, that's how you lose respect for a player. Like, I want you to tell me right to my eyes, like, hey, that's not good enough. You suck. You turned the puck over 4 times. You didn't hit anyone. That's why you're sitting out. Not like a head game, like writing your name, you know, underneath the fourth line going, you're a maybe. You know, because then you're thinking, am I playing? Why ain't I playing? You know what I mean? Like, you want a like the biggest thing is any kind of coach is honesty. You want honesty. When you talk to someone, you want someone to be honest and why, you know? And like, if you are, and it goes both ways. If you're playing good, Terry and Balsman call you in like, hey, this is why you're playing good. That's where your assistant coach comes in. He's like the fluffer. You know, he comes in and he pumps your tires and lets you know the good stuff. But usually the guy that lays the hammer is the head coach, and I think Terry would be like that. So I think Mike Sullivan has a little bit of that behind closed doors. I think he's got that respect where, like, when you go in his room, like,
yeah, he doesn't call anyone out specifically.
Yeah, I always thought that when a coach called out a player publicly, that it was a kind of a last resort.
Yeah,
that he had already. At least I would give him the benefit of the doubt. Although I heard about Matt Cook told me about a coach that he had who did not do that. Who he didn't respect him at all because he had him in Vancouver, and the guy would call guys out in the media instead of in the locker room. And
that's not a good way to start.
No, but I always thought with Tortorella that I can't imagine that he would say something publicly that he wouldn't have already said to a player to his face.
Matt, you can't hit guys from behind or across the middle. How many times I got to tell you?
Well, that was before he did that. But yeah.
All right, Alex Ovechkin's on the minds of a lot of people. He's 6 goals away. I think he has 11 games left, something of that nature. The last game is in Pittsburgh. So create for me a scenario where the Penguins are going to be in a situation. See, to me, this is easy. If the Penguins, for the integrity of the game, let's say Washington is battling for the President's Cup, right? President's Trophy. So, and you could stop them from getting it. You owe it to yourself and the league to try to do it. That includes, if you're down, pulling your goalie. People make a big deal about these empty net goals, but their goals. All the great players, I'm sure Gretzky has hundreds of them, Crosby, and they all do it as part of the game. You're out there at a critical time.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're Mike Sullivan, in an effort not to allow goal that breaks Gretzky's record, do you not pull your goalie if you're down 1 or 2?
Bob, I'm not. I'm not just because...
You're going to keep your goalie in.
Yes, just because of
You're not going to try to win the game.
No.
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah, just because I just think, like, with Sid and Ovi, how they're bad, and I love Ovi. I think he's, again, there's really good guys for the game. I think he's like Sid. They grow the game. You want to be Alex Ovechkin. But for how hard we used to battle against him and how he used to battle against us, I don't know. I'd make him wait that whole summer just to be that, just to give it to him. Because again, remember when they beat us in playoffs and they went on to win the Stanley Cup? Yep. Like that was a little bit of kind of like I was mad at, you know, the whole organization of Washington. But that's such a tough call because
can you imagine if he's won, sure he has to come back. I don't think he's going to retire. But how about if he wanted to?
I think he's going to be beyond it before he gets.
You think so?
Before he gets there. So what do you say? 11 games to go. Six. No, 6 now. Right, because it seems like every time I look up, he needs whatever, and then the next day I wake up and he's got another one.
Well, like the whole team's looking for him. The whole team's like hanging on to the puck back door. They're like, wait a minute, you know.
Well, the good thing about them is they're in a position of leading almost every night. So therefore, you're going to get some empty net opportunities.
Well, wasn't it against the Penguins that they had that 2-man advantage, and Ovi's out there for the whole, I don't know, like 3 minutes and, you know, 3 straight minutes with the extended penalties, and he just kept firing away. And that was, you know, the reason they just wanted to, you know, have him get, and he never did get a goal in that situation.
The other good story, and this one will happen, I think, tonight, because they're playing the Buffalo Sabres, the Penguins are there, and Sidney Crosby's 1 point away from becoming the first ever to have 1 point per game for 20 straight years, which is an incredible accomplishment. and it's Buffalo. And you would imagine they're going to get their opportunity. So one point, he got 1 point the other night. What does it mean to you? And Jim, it's an incredible record, I think. And it's one that not many people around the country are really talking about. But I don't know you'll see another guy ever do what he's doing.
No, just the consistency, the, you know, the preparation, the holding yourself to a certain standard every game. Like the bot, like, you know, the body of work he's done over years to be good, and how he's always learned how to get better. You know, from the beginning of his career where he didn't have a great shot, to he changed his curve, he worked on a shot, he had 50 goals. You know, he's such a student of the game. Even now at his age, he still wants to get better. And that's what makes Sidney Crosby one of the, I like to say, the best guy for your kids to look up to, because of how he's a student of the game, but he's always willing to learn. And when you think of this, he's not just chasing a guy that you know. He's chasing Wayne Gretzky. You know, being from Canada, there's two guys that every Canadian kid grew up looking up to, and it was Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky. And he never, ever thought those records would ever break. It's like someone breaking Mario's 5 goals 5 different ways. Like, you think that's, like, untouchable, right? Just like the 20 years getting a point per game. You always think that's, like, untouchable, even Gretzky's goals. So when you see a guy like Sid break it, it's like, wow, this is, like, a generational player. And then we go back to, like, why doesn't anyone, like, talk to these guys or, like, maybe feel comfortable around Sid? It's because half the guys have a poster of him. They talk about, you know, the Four Nations, and all the guys are like, no, I'm playing with Sidney Crosby. I had, like, Mitch Marner is, like, a Sidney Crosby fanboy. You know, half the guys on the Four Nations, which is, like, the best players in the world, still look up to Sid. And that's what makes it so special. And to see him break a guy like Wayne Gretzky's record, it's just hard to put into words, because you don't realize how hard it is playing 82 games with the travel, with not playing. You know, I would say in my career, out of 82 games, if I played 82 games, you're feeling pretty good for 40. The other 40-something's hurt, you know, and he's still producing at a high, you know, he still figures a way, even when he played Tampa. You know, not much going on. What does Sid do? He comes down, he finds a way to get that point. He finds a way to put the Jets on, pull up, and find a guy going to the net or find the high D man. That's that relentlessness to be the best.
Well, and I don't know when there's ever going to be a fourth guy, okay, because Lemieux, Gretzky, and then I grew up in New England, Bobby Orr, okay? Mm-hmm. And yet there's, you know, you hear about guys like Lindros, or, you know, different guys will come up, and then I don't know how, if anybody's ever going to approach those three guys. But I've always thought Sid was fourth on that list. I think he's been fourth for about 10 years. I know they would give you the Gordie Howe stuff, but just in terms of, and now you talk about longevity, God bless him. He's playing, you know, with his kids in his 50s and stuff. But for Sid, and Sid, to me, he's been even better. He's hurt going into the Four Nations, and he makes his way through one game, and then he gets a little bit healthier, and he, you know, he's once again, he captains the team to victory. And yet when he's come back with his team pretty much hopelessly out of it, He's raised his game.
Yep.
He's been even better over the last month or so.
Nobody's more focused than him in terms of his entire life. He's like the Tom Brady in terms of taking care of your body, right? You have to do that. Yeah. And that means costing yourself some nightlife from time to time.
Oh, like when you think, like, even you see the younger clips of Sid, like, he was acting like 25 when he was 8. You know, he knew how to handle pressure. Yeah. Like, you wonder if he must have had work, or his dad played, so he probably kind of helped him, like, just handle the pressure and all that stuff. But, like, you know, I think one of the coolest things that I think anyone could ever do and would be, like, a bucket list for everybody in the world would be go look at Sidney Crosby trophy room. You know, he's probably got
what's
a whole...
it like? Well, you've seen it.
No, I've never seen
what?
No.
Wait a minute. Come on. He's got, like, a... huge house. He's got whatever.
Yeah.
You've never seen the trophy room?
Never seen
you think
it.
He has one? Maybe he doesn't.
He's got a whole house. It's like a separate house. So you walk in, it's just head to toe with trophies.
What, like the butler cabin at Augusta National?
Yeah, not bad.
Something like that. Like,
you're going to run out at some point and got to add on.
Well, Sid needs to invite you over so you can check it out.
Well,
tell us about it.
I just think, like, just think of the Stanley Cups, like all the championship stuff. But, like, I feel like Sid's like a guy that, like, little things, like, mean a lot to him, too. Like, letters, stuff like that are, like meaningful. You know, he's a meaningful guy. You know,
some
I mean?
Guys don't get the history of the game.
Yeah,
you know, most golfers,
exactly.
Right, Bob? They really know. But a lot of other athletes in other sports.
That's why I like Paul Skeens, who's pitching today, because
yeah.
He is a master of the history part of the game. He knows everything about it, and he's going to try to learn from it. And that's what Sidney Crosby does too.
And I think it's because they grew up watching it. They studied the game at such a young age, you know. And like, I just the one thing I always say, I regret. In my playing days was not like just following Sid like a puppy dog.
Not being on Sid's line.
Well, yeah, that's
it. How often did you play on his line? Did you get to play with him? I mean, there must have been some line changes.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Like I played. No, I played more with Gino. Like I had some good stints with Gino, but like I played with Sid here and there. I just, to be honest, I didn't know how to play with those guys. I didn't know how to play. I didn't know how to play. I knew how to play with those guys. I didn't know how to play off those guys. And that's why you got to give guys like Brian Rust, Dupuis,
Robbie Brown with Mary Lemieux.
Yeah, they know where to go. And it's not complicated, it's simple. Like Brian Rust, he knows when Sid has the puck, like he doesn't want Brian Rust's support. He wants Brian Rust to go to the net with his stick down, and that's what Brian Rust does.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it's
it takes a long time to figure that out, I think, too. You have to read him pretty well.
Well, because and then if you're afraid of him, and I mean that, you know how I mean that, if you're intimidated by him and saying, I'm not worthy kind of thing, and then, you know, but that's what, Russ is a great example because you can put him with anybody.
Yeah.
He should be on Team USA, by the way.
I don't understand
why he's not.
He should have been.
When Guerin was talking about that before the Four Nations, about you want people that you can put anywhere, what are you kidding me? But he'd better be on the Olympic team. That's all I gotta say.
And like this, you guys will like this one. Like, so Dupuis got Dupuis did a great job. He went from like honestly the fourth line to a top line with Sid, and he found his spot. You know, and Sid used to be hard on his wingers because he wanted the most out of them. And I remember him giving it to Dupuis one time, giving him the puck, and Dupuis looks at him and yells out, "I cannot think as fast as you. I don't think the game at your level." And like the whole bench started laughing, you know? But that was like hilarious because everyone's thinking it, but no one wanted to say it. And then Dupuis like he just like blurted out, "I do not think the game like you said. I need a second to make a decision. I can't just rip it up there." And like, I swear, from Dan to like everyone was laughing, you know, and even Sid had a chuckle. But that made Sid probably feel good, you know. But that was like playing with those guys. Again, I always felt intimidated if I didn't give them the puck all the time, or if I missed a shot, I'd feel down because I should have scored it, you know. And those guys, they just could handle the heat from those stars.
Unbelievable stuff. Tyler, always a pleasure to have you in here. We'll see you again next Thursday. Jim, you're going to hang around, and we're going to talk baseball when we come back.
Yeah, I have a tea time this afternoon, Bob, so I've only got 1 hour.
I know what's going to happen here. I'm just left by myself. But Tyler, appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks,
work
man.
On that golf game. Let me know
I'm
how it goes.
I'm going right now. I'm going. I got to start practicing.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. He denies it now. He's publicly finally saying what I've been knowing for the last five weeks.
You have spies everywhere at Neville Woods.
You got to watch out.
Yeah.